Recently, there was a thing called the Aged Care System Navigation Trial. The results of those have been released now. And I guess the first question is probably just to explain what that was all about before we talk about the results.
Well, one of the things that we'd found or had reported to us from people who were looking to move into the aged care system was how complex it was, and it is, and then, of course, that created issues for them working their way through it. So we funded some trials back in the 18-19 budget to see whether or not some government-assisted or government-supported navigators would actually make things easier for people as they tried to work their way through and navigate their way through the system. Clearly, we're trying to make the system simpler as well, but that's the genesis of it. And as a part of that trial, obviously, we wanted to do an assessment of what was happening, how effective the navigators might be, and that report is what we released last week.
Okay, so what did the report say?
Well, it effectively indicated that senior Australians do benefit from having support. We contracted the Council of the Aging, CODA, to work across the country. They had 30 partner organisations as well as Services Australia working with the trials, and the report has come back in a very similar vein to recommendations from the Royal Commission, actually, indicating that there was a good case for system navigators or assistance for people that was operating face-to-face across the country to help people work their way through and into the aged care system.
Yeah, I'm aware of something similar that the Cancer Council used to do. They had to just have a position called a nurse navigator, and when someone gets diagnosed, they've got to see all sorts of different people. And really, if you've got someone that can help you through the system, whether it's health or whether it's aged care, I think it's a good thing.
Well, it's right. That's right. And that's why we've announced some funding as a part of the budget to introduce a network across the country of 500 local community care finders to specifically help with this. So, supported by the findings of the report that we've done through the trials, but also recommended by the Royal Commission. So, it's nearly $94 million that's been announced as a part of the budget to support that. And it's all a part of the overall reforms to the aged care sector that we're implementing off the back of the Royal Commission and announced through the budget.
In the budget, you also announced there'll be increased home care packages, and we're not sure what the breakdown in those yet will be, what level they are. But one of the things that came out of the Royal Commission was that didn't appear to be enough transparency in the pricing and the cost of these home care packages.
Yeah, look, and I think we may have actually talked about this before, that people were concerned that too much of the package was being eaten up in overhead costs and fees and charges. I've been concerned about that as well. So we've instigated some processes to make that more visible. From the 1st of July 2019, providers were required to publish their fees and charges and prices on the My Aged Care website. But we're increasing that transparency, and we're also doing some review work and providing additional capacity for the Quality and Safety Commission to look more closely at those fees and charges. We want to see as much as possible of the taxpayer dollar that we're putting into home care packages, and we'll be getting close to 280,000 home care packages once we finish rolling out the packages we have in the budget. We want to make sure that as much of that money is going to the provision of care of people who are living in their homes as possible. So we're increasing the transparency, making it possible for them to compare providers via the website so that they can shop around. And of course, as a part of that, we're also developing a star rating system so that provides, again, more visibility, but a simple way to compare the performance of home care providers, but which includes their pricing.
You mentioned a couple of times there the My Aged Care website, and I was thinking to myself while you were talking about that, this would be a good job for the navigator person to help someone to navigate through the website, because that can be a bit daunting to someone that hasn't grown up with computers and technology like, you know, we have. Will the navigator positions, will they become available before people get into the packages, or will they have to get the packages first, because it seems a bit of a catch-22 to me?
No, they'll be available as people start coming into the system. So they will be a process to facilitate people in, including through the process of application. So it might be that you're looking for a CHSP or a home care package, or even just looking at what you want to do in entering into aged care. And we understand, particularly in some of those circumstances, people are at time of crisis. So somebody who's able to help guide them through the various elements of the system, quite at a face-to-face level, quite often can be extremely valuable for those that aren't comfortable with working their way through the systems that are available online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by the time I'm old enough to require aged care, I think I'll be okay, technologically speaking. But for people that are older than us, it is a struggle sometimes.
Yeah. Look, it is, and hopefully. The redesign of the system, bearing in mind we're also redesigning the care at home system and making significant reforms to the residential aged care sector, it will be simpler. That's one of the objectives that we have in the redesign of the system. But it also interacts, for example, with the Centrelink system. Some of that can be complicated when you're looking at people's income and assets and those sorts of things. And so when you pull them together, that's where it starts to get difficult. So someone to help work your way through those sorts of things is where we've found some real value.
Yep, sounds like it's going to be a good thing. If you could take off your Senior Australian and Aged Care Services Minister's hat and put your Sports Minister's hat on, we're going to launch a bid to host the 2027 Rugby World Cup.
That's right. I was in Sydney a week or so ago for the official launch of the bid. It's one of the big global sporting events. They claim it's in the top three, but it's still a big event. We last hosted the Rugby World Cup in 2003, which is when I had my introduction to playing rugby. It was a great tournament that we played as a part of the Parliamentary World Cup, and I think a lot of people would remember that last agonising few seconds of the 2003 World Cup, where Johnny Wilkinson kicked a field goal to defeat, where and England defeated Australia in the final.
Yeah, I don't even follow the rugby, and I can remember that. How big it was.
Well, the Wallabies is one of Australia's, you know, favourite teams, particularly when they're playing well, and we're coming up to some big international events right now, and people know who the Wallabies are. They like to follow them, and they love to see them being successful. And the opportunity, again, as we've talked on a number of occasions, to see the best teams in the world playing on Australian soil is a huge one. It'll do a lot for the game, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. We want to see people being active and participating, and we've been very active in trying to bring major sporting events to Australia. In fact, we've been pretty successful in recent times in achieving that.
Yeah, and of course, you know, by then the pandemic will be well and truly over, and we'll have lots of visitors coming from overseas as well, and they bring money with them too. So these sorts of events are good for the economy.
Well, the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup, is projected to bring over 200,000 visitors in from the international markets the world, generating something in the order of $2 billion, which is an enormous amount of money, and 13,000 full-time equivalent job. So it really does have a significant presence, and as I said, it adds to the golden decade, if you like, that we're starting to build at the moment with events that we know we already have, and we have a considerable number already, starting with the Men's T20 World Cup for cricket next year, the FIBA Women's World Cup for basketball next year, the UCI World Road Championships
cycling,
the Virtus Oceania Games for intellectual impairment again next year, the World Transplant Games in 2023, the FIFA Women's World Cup, which is another really big one in 23, canoe slalom world championships in 25 and the netball world cup in 2027.
Right.
So there's a decent list there, and of course we're hoping that we're successful for the 32 games, so we could potentially have a significant runway of great events.
Yeah, I like the way you've coined that, a golden decade of international sport in Australia. That's terrific.
Well, it's great for people to be able to see the best of the best operating and competing here in Australia. We know we do these major international sporting events exceptionally well, and we're recognised for that around the world. So we're putting our best foot forward for a number of those. We've clearly been successful with a few, and if we can add the Rugby World Cup to the list in 2027, it just adds to the opportunity to bring people to Australia, take advantage of the economic benefit, but see some great sporting events at the same time.
More icing on what's already a very big cake by the sound of it. Richard, thanks very much for your time. As always, today, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks very much, Martin.